Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Vita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavinda So, today is Sri Nityananda Charitasi, the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, who is none other than Lord Balaram. So there's a couple nice prayers that we'll offer to Lord Nityananda. And we'll reveal some of his pastimes and relate him to the class. And then we can actually go to Mayapur, go to these holy places where Lord Nityananda appeared and Lord Chaitanya appeared. And we don't have to spend any money to go there. We don't have to buy a plane ticket. We don't have to go through customs. We don't have to go through so much difficulty. But simply by hearing, we could go there. And so, also, these transcendental images, paintings, are like also entering into the spiritual world. So we have both the visual and the audio that we can try to focus on Lord Nityananda and his mercy. So I bow down to the Supreme Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the crest jewel of all avadutas, who gives the topmost ecstatic bliss to all by freely distributing the holy names of Krishna. That's from the Nityananda Pranam. And there's another nice prayer. Vande Nantadbhutaishvaryam Sri Nityananda Meshwaram Yasechaya Tatsvarupam Agneyapi Nirupyate. Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Sri Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited by his will. Even a fool can understand his identity. So there's hope for us. So in that previous verse, it mentioned that he was an avaduta. So this is very nice. He's the crest jewel of all avadutas. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that, what that means. And he breaks it down, avaduta. So a comes from akshaya, which means inexhaustible. And va comes from varaniya, which means the most respectable personality. And du, durga, free from material bondage. And then ta comes from the tat tvam asi, is that one who knows the absolute truth. So this is avaduta. He's inexhaustible, he's most respectable, he's free from material bondage. And he knows the absolute truth. But also he says, there's three other characteristics of an avaduta. Is that he is free from bodily urges, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And he has no identification with the tongue, belly, and the genitals. And he follows strict celibacy. So this is an avaduta. It's a very rare thing. So this is a nice mantra we could chant together. Jaya Nityananda Chandra Jaya Chaitanya Prana Tomara Chandra Chanara Vinda Bhakti Dehadana And this is a translation. All glories to Lord Nityananda, who is the life and soul of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, kindly give me engagement in devotional service at your lotus feet. So this image shows that actually we do have engagement at his lotus feet here. The devotees are serving his lotus feet physically, presently, you know, right here. So this is very wonderful. So this is Lord Nityananda. He actually appeared 12 or 13 years before Lord Chaitanya in Eka Chakra. And that's where all the residents there, they just loved Lord Nityananda more than their own children. In fact, they would even forget their own children and they would go to Lord Nityananda. So this is where we are going to enter through this transcendental sound vibration. We're going to go to this place. So here in Ekachakra, Lord Nityananda displayed wonderful pastimes. In his childhood, he would crawl very wonderfully. They said it was described like a button of cotton. And he would just like float with the breeze. And his eyes were so beautiful. They were like white lotuses. And the eyes, they were filled with Krishna prema. And they would go from practically ear to ear. And his nostrils, it's described, they were made of sesame flour. I mean, they actually made the sesame flour feel ashamed. His nose was so beautiful. And his lips were like freshly cut crimson red fruit. And his body was actually decorating the jewels that he was wearing. It's not like his jewels was decorating his body. But his body was so beautiful that it decorated the jewels that he was wearing. And he loved to wear blue colored dhoti. Do you know why he liked the blue colored dhoti? It's because he would look for cloth that reminded him of Krishna's color, Krishna's bodily hue. So he always liked to wear the blue dhoti. And so that reminded him of Krishna's complexion. And he would enact the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sometimes they would, you know, they would act like, you know, Putana, or he would act like Lakshmana, or they would enact that pastime, you know, Putana. And they would actually act like they were coward boys. He would act like he was Balaram. And the residents would wonder, how do you know all these pastimes? And he would just smile and say, these are my pastimes. And because of Yogamaya, they didn't really understand what he meant by that. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared, he knew that Lord Nityananda began to roar like a lion. And because he knew that now his Lord is manifested in this age of Kali. And then soon after, when Lord Nityananda was getting older, a sannyasi appeared and stayed at the house of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. These are his mom and dad. And he stayed at their house. And when he was leaving, the sannyasi, Lord Nityananda's father, Hadaya Pandit, asked the sannyasi, what alms can I give you? And the sannyasi smiled and said, there's only one thing you can give me. The things you have, I don't want. And the things that you don't have, you know, I want. So the only alms that I ask from you is your son, Nitai. I'm a traveling Paripravakacharya, and I'm wandering everywhere, and I need an assistant. And your son will be a perfect assistant for me. And so this sannyasi really wanted to learn Nityananda. And we can imagine how Hadaya Pandit and his wife were just like so against it. But still, he was determined. He said, no, you know, I could come myself. My son, he's so young. I know everything. I could do everything for you. I'll be your servant. And he said, no, actually, either your son or nothing. So with a heavy heart, they actually relented. And they let Nityananda go with the sannyasi. So when he left, the whole town of Ekachakra, they were like dying practically. They were crying. It's described that there was ponds and rivers of tears. And the parents, you know, of Nityananda, they stopped eating. They stopped sleeping. And even Padmavati said to her husband, he said, why aren't you dying from separation from your son? Like Lord Ram, he died out of separation. You know, don't you have any love for him? And they were like going mad. And he said, it's easy to die only once, but I'm dying every minute in separation from my son. And the only reason I'm here is because what if he comes back and I'm not here? And then he would be so lost. So then a few months later, they both left their bodies. chanting Lord Nityananda's name. So Lord Nityananda traveled all over all the holy places with the sannyasi. And he went to Vrindavan finally, and he waited for Lord Chaitanya to appear. And then while he was doing that, sometimes he would jump in the river and he'd chant, Krishna, Krishna. And he would remember, oh, I'm Nityananda, I'm not Balaram. This he would forget. And then when he heard that Lord Chaitanya appeared and started his Sankirtan movement, he went to Navadvip immediately. And then he met Lord Chaitanya, and they embraced each other, and they just bathed in each other's tears. And they were just, at that time, that's when the downpour of ecstasy began in this Kali Yuga. So there's some nice verses here glorifying Lord Nityananda. So let me surrender unto lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Samkarshan in the midst of Chaturbyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, with full opulence. So we can see here, here's the first expansion of Krishna. So, so it's described that Lord Nityananda is actually non-different than Krishna. He has all the opulences, he has all the qualities, all the potencies, everything of Krishna. And the only difference between them is two things. Does anybody know? The two things that are different between Balaram and Krishna. Yes, his color. It's described that Krishna's color is like the fresh formed monsoon clouds. And then Balaram is white like the newly formed spring cloud. So, and but there's another, what's the other difference? Is that the mood of them is different. The mood of Krishna, he's in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in accepting service. And Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mood of offering service. So he's teaching us how to express love with service in such an inconceivable way. So we'll go into some of those and we'll see. So here we see, there's another prayer. Let Sri Nityananda Ram, whose parts of plenary portions are known as Sankarshan Vishnu, lying on the Karna ocean, Vishnu lying on the Garbha ocean, and Vishnu lying on the milk ocean, or the Sangaga, Sionanga, be the object of my constant remembrance. The Mahavishnu into whom all the innumerable universes enter and from whom they come forth, again, simply by his breathing process, is a plenary expansion of Krishna. Therefore, I worship Govinda, Krishna, the cause of all cause. Let me offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation is the original Purusha, who is the feeder of Maya, illusory energy, and the resort of all the universes, and called by the name Vishnu, who is lying in the ocean of Karna. Let me offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose partial part is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from whose navel stem of lotus has sprouted Brahma, the first seer of the universe. I do offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lion on the ocean of milk, the supersoul of all living entities, and the maintainer of all universes. The Naga is also his part in the fourth order. In Vaikuntha, where the four-handed Vishnu, where everything animate and inanimate manifests, when that Lord desires to take rest, Balaram manifests as serpent Ananta, coiled around to make the most comfortable seat. So here it's a seat. And then he also makes it into a mattress, like a bed. And it adjusts the temperature to make it cool for the Lord or to make it warm for the Lord. So it's the most perfect mattress. This is how he's serving the Lord. So we see in Treta Yuga, he appeared as Lakshmana, the younger brother of Lord Ram. And it's very interesting how he was so dedicated. There's an injunction that the wife should follow the husband. But there's no injunction in the scriptures that says the younger brother has to follow the older brother. You know, in fact, sometimes he's glad he's gone. But here he left with him and was ready to wear bark, to build huts, you know, to have his feet cut just from his feet making a way for the Lord and Sita so they won't cut their feet. And not only that, he would stay up all night and guard them. He wouldn't sleep at all. He would guard them with his bow and arrow. So here we see they're stepping off in a flower plant where they're Ramchandra, Sita Devi, Lakshmi and their associates, they enter the city of Ayodhya. And that's when they had a festival. And they're welcoming them back. So in the next yuga, he came as Balaram to serve Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan. And first, he manifested actual Vrindavan, the land, Vrindavan. That's where Krishna had his pastimes. And it's interesting, because that land is Balaram, sometimes Krishna would be attacked by demons or they would be nearby. And Balaram would stretch the land out to make the distance between Krishna and the demon farther away. So he'd expand his body, expand himself. And sometimes when Krishna wanted to go home to Mother Yasoda, he was quite a ways away in the forest. So he would shrink the land. He would bring it together so that he would get home faster. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're not disturbed by scorching heat when their summer seasons arrive. And that's only due to the presence of Krishna and Balaram. So he's serving all the devotees of Krishna, all the residents there. So they wanted to enjoy that atmosphere. So Radha Swami talks about how, you know, Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. And what do they do as cowherd boys? They lead the cows, right, home. So in the same way, Lord Nityananda comes in the age of Kali to lead all us like animals back home, back to the spiritual world. So this is what Lord Nityananda is doing. So Lord Nityananda, he serves in all the rasas, actually. And he even comes as Krishna's shoes, his flute, his garland, his bed. He even gives him a massage. And sometimes he takes a massage from Krishna. And as his elder brother, he's ready to even chastise him. You know, why are you eating dirt? Why are you breaking pots? Why are you stealing so much? I'm going to complain to Mother Yasoda. I'm going to get you in trouble. So in this way, he's protecting him. And even he comes in the spirit of conjugal love. He's ready to serve Radha and Krishna as Radharani's younger sister, Ananga Manjari. So there's many pastimes that are performed by Lord Nityananda's wife, Janava Devi. And she's actually the energy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And she was non-different. It's described as Ananga Manjari. So this is very interesting. So there's a nice prayer. Panchatattvakam Krishnam Bhaktarupam Swapakam Srupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktyakyam Namami Bhaktasaktikam. I do offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is non-different from his feature of a devotee, that of a devotee incarnation, devotee manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So this is the Panchatattva. So this is they actually danced and chanted again and again, and they made it easy to drink the nectar and love of Godhead. They acted like madmen just to distribute this love of Godhead. So they didn't consider who was fit, who wasn't fit, you know, or where it was. They just, any place, any condition, they would distribute this love of Godhead. So this was so fortunate. So you would see Lord Nityananda. When Lord Chaitanya would faint in ecstasy, Lord Nityananda would be there to grab him and have him fall in his lap. So this is so nice. So when the sweet Lord, out of his, you know, just independent will, his sweet will, he desires to come and appear in the age of Kali. And he comes as his most magnanimous, sweet, munificent form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda appears just to serve him. And just imagine how we're such tiny, insignificant souls. We're like 1/10,000, the tip of a hair. And we're actually eternal servants of Krishna. And our only desire, it seems, is just to enjoy. They're so tiny, but yet we have that desire, I want to enjoy. But the Supreme Lord, who's actually the enjoyer, who has only one desire, and that is to what? To serve. So just see. And Lord Nityananda, the source of everything, as we described, animate, inanimate, you know, material, spiritual, everything that exists, everything that doesn't exist, is the source, is the cause, is the medium, creator, is the maintainer, is the destroyer, is the effect, is everything. He possesses everything. And he can create everything. And he can even destroy everything. But his only one desire is to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the most uninterrupted, unconditional way in transcendental service. And I heard someone say, if Lord Nityananda only had one thing to pick in all of existence, in all of eternity, what would that be? It would be loving service. Because that's the only reality that exists. So there's different pastimes where Lord Nityananda would serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was sannyas, Lord Chaitanya. So he told him to hold his danda. And so Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda grabbed it and said, what does Lord Chaitanya need this for? And so he broke it in three parts and he threw it in the river. And he realized that Lord Chaitanya, his Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not a renunciant. He doesn't need this. You know, in fact, you know, he's not like a part of the Mayavadi philosophy. You know, he has control of all his senses. It's like he doesn't need the staff. So he broke it for him. So here's Nityananda. He's sitting on a rock under the tree in the bank of the Ganges. Thank you. So Lord Nityananda was as effulgent to describe as hundreds and thousands of suns. And the devotees, they surrounded him. And seeing his influence, Raghunath Das, he was very astonished. And you see him down there paying obeisances. He paid his obeisances from a distance, though. And Nityananda pointed out to him, he goes, oh, there's Raghunath. He's offering obeisances. And so he said, he called him and said, you're a thief. Now you have to come and see me. Come here. And he says, today I will punish you. And Raghunath didn't go to the Lord. He didn't go very near. But Lord Nityananda, he forcibly caught him. And he placed his lotus feet on Raghunath's head. And he said, now, instead of coming near me, you are at a distant place. So now that I've captured you, I'm going to punish you. And then what you need to do for your punishment is to make a festival of chipped rice. So then he had to make this big festival. And this is the festival they made, the Panihati festival. They made it with chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweet, sugar, bananas, all kinds of food, and many pots. So this is what Lord Nityananda. So this is a very nice pastime. And it's another pastime where Lord Nityananda was taking prasadam with Advaita and Lord Chaitanya. And he was like joking. He says, you know, I've been fasting for so long and now you hardly give me anything. Look at that big plate. He goes, this is hardly anything. I'm going to starve. You know, what are you doing? It's like, so he got upset with him and he threw the rice at him. And the rice that touched Advaita began to make him chant in ecstasy. There's another time when Nityananda Prabhu was traveling to Jagannath Puri and Shivananda Sena had managed the payment of all the tolls in the different places. And that's the way the Lord's devotees and the Lord can pass. And then Shivananda remained back to pay. So when they entered the village, no one but Shivananda Sena could arrange for the place to stay. So he wasn't there. So Nityananda became angry and upset that Shivananda wasn't there. And then when he arrived, Lord Nityananda just kicked him. And he says that, you know, and then Sivananda Sen says, by your mercy, you have kicked me, so who can understand? You know, this dust of your feet cannot even be attained by Lord Brahma. So he said, you touched my wretched body, therefore I'm, you know, very fortunate. So here's a very wonderful pastime. Lord Nityananda, he influenced all the devotees in the temple to dance. And finally he began to dance himself. And Lord Chaitanya was observing it. But this is interesting. This is where they were at Raghu Pandit's house. And this was on their way to Bengal. I think it was now the Panihati time. And there was these brothers, the Ghosh brothers. There was Govinda, Madhava, and Vasudev. And they did a kirtan. And they would dance and dance, and people would be wonderstruck to see Lord Nityananda dance. And it appeared that the whole earth was shaking. And in the middle of the kirtan, Lord Nityananda told Raghu Pandit, he said, go get a garland of fresh kandamba flowers. And he told the Lord, hey, you know, where do I get those? Those don't grow in Bengal. And moreover, it's not even the kandamba season. And he said, no, just go outside and you'll see. So then he went outside and he saw that in a lemon tree, there was kandamba flowers. So Raghu Pandit made a very beautiful garland and offered it to Lord Nityananda. So it was an extremely wild kirtan, but you know, we may think of wild kirtan in our way of wild kirtan, but what their wild kirtan means is so intense with love and devotion. That's their wildness there. So then they began to smell this special fragrance. It was a damananka flower. And everybody could smell it. And they're wondering, where is this scent coming from? You know, we could smell this special flower. And they said, you know, this flower is only found in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Nityananda said, it's because Lord Chaitanya is here. He was just in Jagannath Puri and he joined in our kirtan today. But nobody could see him but Lord Nityananda. And then the kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya had a flower garden like that on him. So that's why they could smell it. So it's described that the devotees became so ecstatic that some of the devotees would climb on these branches of the trees. And the branches were so thin and the leaves were so small. But yet the devotees would be chanting on these branches and leaves and they wouldn't fall, nor would the branches break. So this is amazing. And some of the devotees, they would pick up huge trees and they would dance with them in their hands. And then one devotee, Abhiram Gopal, he picked up a huge tree that only 20, not even 20 people could lift. And what did he use it for? He used it like a flute, like Krishna. And he was just standing there like Krishna. So it was amazing. They were like in a different whole transcendental state, you can imagine. And not only that, the kirtan went on for 3 months straight, day and night. They didn't eat and they didn't sleep. And even small children would come by and they would hear the kirtan and they would join the kirtan and they'd become ecstatic also and they would stay there and just chant and dance. And then the parents would come looking for their children. And then the parents would become so attracted and they would chant and dance. And nobody would eat or sleep and they would do it for this long amount of time. So this is the amazing kirtan with the Avaduta, Lord Nityananda. So this is, he appeared to Krishna Das in a dream and he told him that he wanted him to go to Vrindavan. You see. Because he didn't have faith in his brother, yeah, Nityananda. So he chastised him. But then Lord Nityananda appeared and told him, you know, just don't be afraid. Go to Vrindavan and then you attain all things. So this is a very important pastime here. Actually, Lord Chaitanya instructed Lord Nityananda and Haridas to go door to door and told them to chant Hare Krishna. Tell everybody to chant Hare Krishna. So they would do that. They would knock on door to door and Lord Nityananda, he would fall at their feet and beg them to chant and serve Krishna. And Lord Nityananda, he looked like a golden mountain. And they were so attracted that they all took to chanting. But actually, some of them were very envious, lusty and puffed up people. And they used to criticize, and some of them even used to beat Lord Nityananda. And still Lord Nityananda would fall at their feet and roll and say, please, you know, I'm your slave. Just chant Hare Krishna. You know, just do that. That's the only thing I beg of you. I'll become your servant, but just chant Hare Krishna. So just imagine Lord Nityananda, his a partial expansion of Krishna, his Mahavishnu. He can create everything in one exhalation, and he could destroy everything in one inhalation. He's a creator of Lord Brahma, the secondary creator, and he's that original, most powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nityananda. He's coming down to beg from his own servants and from people who are envious. And he never ordered anybody. He didn't order him. Chant. He just said, he begged them. He promised to sell himself to their lotus, to their lotus feet, if they only took to the names of Krishna. And some of them would just go away. But yet he was so humble and so tolerant and full of compassion that he just continued. And then in his preaching, there was once he was preaching and there was a big crowd in the, you know, like there was something happening, you know, like a whole thing was happening in the town. All these people were surrounding around these people and they were wondering what was going on. And it was Jagai Madai. And they asked, who are these? What's going on? Who are these guys? And it goes, someone told Nityananda, oh, they were pious brahmanas born in a brahmana family. But due to bad association, they began to slaughter animals and eat their flesh and drink their blood. They used to set houses on fire. They even killed babies and they spoiled sacrifices by dropping abominable substances on them. You know, just like demons would do. And they're always intoxicated. They had liquor and they would have all kinds of illicit sexual relations. Nobody's more filthy and fallen than they are. And now they're famous dacoits of Navadvip. They're known as Jagai and Madai. And nobody goes close to them because they're afraid they'll get murdered. So when Lord Nityananda heard this, his eyes opened really wide. And in ecstatic love, he said, they are recipients of Lord Gauranga's mercy. And he told Haridas, please pray that they become devotees. You know, please pray that the whole Navadvip, you know, and if they do, all the Navadvip will know how Lord Chaitanya is a deliverer of the most fallen. And so they're so bad that even if Jagai Mata's shadow happened to fall on you, the residents would go to the Ganges and take a bath just to purify themselves. So they thought, if we can make these devotees, you know, people in the whole village would come and take darshan of them as if they were Ganga personified. So this is what their desire was, their compassion was for them. So that's when he told him to pray for them, Haridas, that they would become recipients of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And Haridas said, oh, Nityananda, simply by your thought, they're going to be delivered. So he said, now it's just the formalities are left. So what happened is they approached them. And these two brothers were very intoxicated in madness. And Lord Nityananda said, my dear brothers, we've heard of your unlimited glories. You're worshipable by everyone. But I have one request, Jagannanda and Madhavananda. Give up your nonsense and surrender to Chaitanya. Please worship Krishna. Please chant the names of Krishna. Why are you living this sinful life? Don't you fear the reactions? You would be destroyed by these sinful reactions. Please worship Krishna. Now there's still time. Please rectify and worship Krishna. So these intoxicated drunkards, they just looked at each other and their eyes rolled. And they became very hot like coals. And their mouth was spitting like fire. And they said, how dare you advise me? Don't you know how great I am? And you still come and counsel me? Catch them. Kill them. So they started to run after them. And Lord Nityananda and Haridas, they had to run. But they were laughing. And they're like having an adventure. And they never were like so, so dangerous position. Even Haridas had to admit, when I was being whipped in those 21 marketplaces, I wasn't as afraid as I am now. And so these madmen were trying to chase them. But and he was saying, actually, Haridas said that you're a madman, Lord Nityananda. You're trying to give these drunkards Krishna Prema, which is impossible. And he said, why are you calling me a madman? Lord Chaitanya, he's the personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's instructing us to go and do this. He's like the king ordering us, go here, go there, go there. He's telling us to do that. So it's amazing, no one has ever done this before. And so Jagai Madai, they couldn't catch Lord Nityananda because they were so drunk and fat and, you know, just sloppy. And so what they did is they started beating up each other. They had to take it out on someone. So they started punching each other and kicking and everything until they started crying, and then they started, you know, feeling sorry for themselves. So when they got back, they heard about this. Lord Chaitanya heard about this and he said, I'm going to cut them to pieces with my chakra. And Lord Nityananda said, no, in Kali Yuga, everyone's a Jagai Madai. There's big ones, there's medium ones, there's small ones, you know, tiny ones. These demons, you know, they're here, they're everywhere. In previous ages, the demons would be only on separate planets, you know. And then in another age, they would be on the same planet, but in different countries, like Ravana. He would be on his own country. And now, in Dwapara Yuga, they would be on the same planet, they'd be in the same country, and the same family. And that was in the Pandavas. The demons were in the same family. But he said, now in Kali Yuga, you know, the demons are in the same planet, they're in the same country, they're in the same family, and even they're in the same person. So he said, everyone in Kali Yuga is a Jagai Madai. And then Haridas complained to Advaita Acharya, and he said, you know, this Lord Nityananda is like, he's such an avaduti. He goes and swims with crocodiles, he scares children, and then he runs away, and then their parents come and beat me up because he's gone. And he asks young women to marry him, and then the fathers come and they don't see you and they find me and then they chastise me. And you drink all the milk from the cows and then, you know, you run away and hide. And, you know, today actually it was heavy. I thought I was going to die today because, you know, these goons, they were chasing us. And he wanted them to chant the holy names of the Lord and be delivered. And Shivita said, yes, because of Lord Nityananda, he's a madman. And he's always intoxicated with love of God, that he likes to be around intoxicated people. But don't worry, they will be delivered very soon, don't worry. So in the evening, Lord Nityananda went again. And in the same lane where these Jagai Madai were shouting and they were intoxicated, Lord Nityananda went to them and he went and said, please, you're a part and parcel of Krishna. The only way to happiness is to reconnect with him. And then Madai saw him, and you can imagine, he lost it, and he became so angry. And he was drinking liquor out of a half broken clay pot, and then he just smashed it on Lord Nityananda's head. And the Supreme Personality, Lord Nityananda, he pleaded with him, even though he was profusely bleeding. He said that the pain you're inflicting on yourself by not being Krishna conscious is way more painful than the pain that you've inflicted on me. And he says, oh Madai, again I fall at your feet, and please take this process of chanting. And then Madai couldn't understand. He just lost it again. And he said, I dare you continue preaching to me, you nonsense. And he was going to get another pot and smash it on Arjuna's head. And Jagai, his heart melted, and he stopped Madai and he said, don't you see how merciful he is? There's no saint that has ever approached us like this. And you want to hit him? And he continues to smile and lovingly and compassionately tries to help you? Madai, don't hit him. He's our friend. So by that time, the news reached Lord Chaitanya. And he rushed to the spot. And as soon as he understood that Lord Nityananda, his servant, was bleeding, he looked at Jagai in the eyes and said, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yama, the God of death, even dances at my feet. Lord Shiva, he's the source of destruction. He's my servant. And anyone who criticizes, who blasphemes, and people like you who insult and cause physical harm to my devotees, will see me as death personified. So Lord, in this mood, Lord Chaitanya invoked his Sudarshan chakra. which you could see there. And it was ready to cut off Madai's head. And then, you know, from his body. So then Nityananda, he fell at the feet of Gauranga. And he said, "Oh Mahaprabhu, please take your Sudarshan chakra back. In fact, let me tell you, he wasn't trying to hit me. He was trying to throw it somewhere else. You know, he was trying to say things. But he hit me by accident. And it didn't hurt me. Look, I'm still smiling. Nothing happened to me." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Look, you're bleeding." And he said, "Oh Mahaprabhu, I beg you, if any of my lives I've ever served you in any capacity, in return I ask you only one benediction. Please forgive them. Let all their sins come to me and let my good deeds go to them. You may punish me, but uplift them. This is my only desire." Can you imagine the insignificant jiva like we're talking about? He throws a clay pot and hurts the Supreme Lord, because of whom his very existence is possible. And the Supreme Lord, out of his mercy, he begs for his life. This has never happened before. We see that even in previous times when Lord Nityananda came as Lakshmana, when Sarpana came, he actually cut her nose and ears. And when Pralambasura attacked Balaram, he broke open his head. And we see when Danakasura attacked Balaram, he threw him into those tall trees. But when Madai attacked Nityananda, he begged for his forgiveness. So just see how fortunate we are. So Nityananda looked at Madai and said, "In fact, it was Jagai who saved my life. Madai tried to attack again and Jagai rescued me and protected me." Gauranga heard this and called Jagai and said, "You protected my Nityananda, my greatest devotee?" And he said, "Today in front of everyone, to witness, I bless you with the eternal love of God." So there he did that. He blessed him. He embraced him. To see one who's the most fallen a few minutes ago, and now he becomes the greatest devotee. And he approached the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's when Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And then Jagai, he started having these ecstatic symptoms. You know, he was trembling, shivering, his teeth were chattering, his hair was running. So many different ecstatic symptoms. And he was chanting the holy names of Krishna. And then Madai saw this and he said, "You know, Jagai and I, we've always sinned together. We were team partners. And now you uplift him and you give him love of God. So please protect me too." And then Gauranga said, Lord Chaitanya told him, "No, that's impossible. I'll never give you mercy. But if you really want the mercy, you have to go to Lord Nityananda. You see, you have to beg him for his mercy. If you hurt me or if you criticize me, you know, you may get my mercy. But anyone who offends my devotee, forget it. The worship of my devotee is greater than my worship." So that's what Madai did. He fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda smiled and picked him up. And he said, you know, he forgave him. And he said, "Promise me that you will never sin again. Because you never committed Vaishnava Parad, and because you never met the Vaishnavas, and you never committed Nama Parad because you never even chanted the holy name, I forgive you." And as soon as Jagai and Madai were forgiven, they embraced Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And all the devotees chanted, "Hari Bo, Hari Bo." So just see this, Jagai and Madai, then they began chanting and dancing in association with the devotees, chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna. So we bow down to the embodiment of mercy, Lord Nityananda, on this appearance day. And we can receive this bliss. It's actually accessible. It's very practically accessible. But we have to receive it. We have to be grateful for it. And that's what we got. We got this causeless mercy. And the proof is that we have causeless mercy is that we're celebrating this today. We're all here in the temple room. We're all hearing about Lord Nityananda. This is the proof that we actually got that mercy. So he's appeared now. And then another way to access this bliss, this mercy of Lord Nityananda, is to rectify ourselves. Like he told, you know, Jagai and Madai, that no more sin. You know, we don't sin. And this is one of the faults of ISKCON. I heard a devotee was giving a class. He was talking And somebody came and he was challenging the devotee. And he said, what is the fault of ISKCON? You know, we all have good qualities and we all have faults. So we want to hear the faults of ISKCON. And the devotee replied, the only fault of ISKCON is that we don't discriminate who can come. We allow anybody to come, even you. So the person was taken aback. So this is, we are reminding everyone. This is another way we can access the bliss, is to remind everyone about this mercy. And this is our preaching. We share this knowledge. We share Lord Nityananda's mercy. We don't keep it to ourselves. So this is how we attain that blissfulness, is by receiving it, by rectifying ourselves, no more sin, and then to remind others of it. So this is so nice. So it may seem extreme. Examples of Lord Nityananda, Jagai and Madai, extreme examples. You know, they committed the most abominable sins, practically every sin you can imagine. And all the vices. In fact, it's described that they were the embodiment of all the vices, that all the demons that were killed in Krishna Lila. Like Hiranyakashipu, he had the vice of greed. And Hiranyaksha had the vice of greed. And Hiranyakashipu had the vice of pride. And Ravana, he had the vice of lust. And then Kumbhakarna had the vice of illusion. Sishupal, envy. And Dantavakra, anger. So the Jagai Madai represented all these vices. And so we can see, even though Lord Nityananda was beaten, he still wanted to give them pure love. Just like Lord Balaram killed Ramaharshana Suta with a blade of grass, Lord Nityananda, with that same grass, he put in his mouth between his teeth and he begged everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So we're so fortunate that we don't get destroyed in that way. So we can all, to a certain extent, see ourselves in them. You know, we've all had bad times in our lives. We've sunk to the bottom, maybe. You know, we've been to dark places. And sometimes we haven't been our true selves, our highest selves. And many of us, before becoming devotees, were engaged in so many activities of Jagai and Madai's vices. And now, it's become a common practice. Srila Prabhupada even says that it's no longer considered abominable to be a drunkard, woman hunter, meat eater, thief, or rogue, for these elements have been assimilated by human society. So you can see it's here. So we can see devotees, we're struggling in different ways with our minds and so many things in this modern world. It's permeated with so many things. But if we actually take up this Krishna consciousness movement, we can actually be helped. And Lord Nityananda is that merciful sun in this dark age of Kali. So, and the way we do this is by taking advantage of the devotees' association. They actually help us develop humility. And with this humility, we can actually make some advancement in Krishna consciousness. So here we see Lord Nityananda. He's explaining to Jiva Goswami. And he's telling him how there will someday be this wonderful temple. You know, that is the one that's being built in Mayapur. So he said here, this is what he told Nityananda, told Jiva Goswami. When our Lord Chaitanya disappears by his desire, the Ganges will swell. The Ganges water will almost cover Mayapur for 100 years. And then the water will again recede. For some time only, the place will remain devoid of houses. Then again, by the Lord's desire, this place will again be manifest. And the devotees will build temples of the Lord. One exceedingly wonderful temple, Adbhuta Mandir, will appear from which Gauranga's eternal service will be preached everywhere. So this is what's happening. This is what ISKCON is doing. As you can see. So on the sacred banks of the Ganges, this temple, the Vedic planetarium will be given. It's like a beacon. So here is Srila Prabhupada. He is actually the embodiment of Lord Nityananda's compassion. And we see how he was tolerant. He was merciful, compassionate. There's many pastimes. We see, like one time in Melbourne, the students actually attacked Prabhupada. And he very narrowly got away with his life. You see, all the time he was just chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, Prabhupada is very living happily in Vrindavan. He was like a Babaji, a sadhu there. He was very well known. His books are being respected. But yet he came in the mood of Lord Nityananda to the Western world to, you know, enact and this mercy to everyone. And many times even Prabhupada had to put up with devotees arguing with him. Or not devotees, but even guests. They would become very, very rude, actually. And Prabhupada just tolerated it and still accepted them. And Prabhupada put up with so many crazies. Think about intoxicated, stoned out hippies. They didn't know what they were doing practically, and Prabhupada had mercy on them. In fact, I heard one story, one of the hippies was, they were showing to put tilak on, so the devotees were putting tilak on, you know, and he noticed that, oh, I don't have any water, the devotees have water, so he used his own saliva to make tilak and put it on. And Prabhupada saw this, and he went and brought him the Achman cup and said, no, you do like this. Prabhupada was very tolerant. To just see what kind of people Prabhupada had to tolerate and deal with. So we're very fortunate that Lord Chaitanya's mercy is available. So Prabhupada says here, here's a couple of nice prayers. Prabhupada quotes, Heno nitai bina bai. Unless one takes shelter under the feet, the shade of lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Radha Krishna pati nai, it will be very difficult for him to approach Radha Krishna. The aim of this Krishna consciousness movement is to enable us to approach Radha and Krishna and associate with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance. Narottama Das Thakur advises that if one actually wants to enter into the dancing party of Radha Krishna, he must accept the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. So then he continues in another song. Narottama Baro Dukhi. Narottama Das Thakur, the Acharya, is taking the position that he is very unhappy. Actually, he is representing ourselves. He says, my dear Lord, I am very unhappy. Nita more kora suki. Therefore, I am praying to Lord Nityananda to make me happy. Rako ranga charane pasa. Please keep me at the corner of your lotus feet. So here we have our Nityananda, that we are actually able to serve his lotus feet and get his wonderful glance, which is full of love of God. This was an outfit that was a couple years ago on Lord Nityananda's appearance day. So here's the proof that we were actually, you know, developing. He's given us the opportunity to develop this service mood. So there's a very nice prayer to Lord Nityananda. And I'd like to, just a couple of stanzas here. I'll just do the English. This is from the Adi 1, 7 to 11. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Seshanaga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karna ocean, Garbha ocean, and the ocean of milk are his plenary portions, and the portions of his plenary portions. I surrender to Lord Lotus Feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarshan, in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation called Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, lying on the Karna ocean, is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all the universes. So it goes on describing how all these different forms that we mentioned. So this is the moon. He's like the full moon that gives the soothing, cooling rays to this fire, the samsara, the samsara davana. So this is what we pray. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahido Gaudadeya Paspavanto Chitro Sando Tamanudo. My respectful obeisances are due to both Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya, as well as Nityananda, who have arisen on the horizon of Gauda, as both the sun and the moon, simultaneously in a wonderful manner, to dissipate darkness of ignorance and thereby bestow benediction over all. So here we are, we have the proof. So, if you would all, there's the Nityananda Astakam. And if you like, I'd like to read that to you, because just by reading this, we will be able to get Nityananda Prabhu's sublime qualities. Would you like that? Okay, so this will be the last thing. Sri Nityanandas Takam by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of Krishna Bhakti tree, whose bright face outshines the full autumn moon, whose pure complexion glistens, whose gait is like that of an intoxicated majestic elephant, who is always mad in Krishna Prema, who is the personification of pure spiritual energy, whose face wears a gentle smile, whose eyes are always rolling due to his absorption in Krishna Prema, whose lotus hand gracefully carries a staff, and who, by the performance of Nam Sankirtan, pierces the influence of Kali Yuga. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who is the mainstay of all rasas, mellows of devotional service, who is the be-all and end-all of his devotees, who is beyond compare, who is the master of both Vasudha and Janavi Devi, who considers him more dear than their own lives, who is always maddened in Krishna Prema, and who is unrecognized as a Supreme Lord, and only by those of apathetic disposition. This is the third verse. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who is very dear to Sri Satchinandana, who is worshipped by the entire universe, who is the embodiment of happiness, whose infinite mercy is the means for delivering the souls who are drowning in the age of Kali, and who, by performing Sri Harinam Sankirtan, eradicates the swelling of false pride in the ocean of repeated birth and death. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of Sri Krishna Bhakti tree, who said to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, O brother Gauranga, what will be the destination of the sinful souls of Kali Yuga, and how will they be redeemed? Please devise a method by which they will easily attain you. I perpetually worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of Krishna Bhakti tree, who wandering throughout Bengal approached the door of every home and with upraised arms exclaimed, O brothers, without inhibition, all of you together, continuously chant Sri Harinam. If you do so, I will ensure your deliverance from the ocean of material existence. So we're on the sixth verse now. I eternally worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who forcibly swallows the ocean of repeated birth and death, like the Agastya Muni that made all the oceans dry up by drinking only a palmful of water. Who is the rising full moon, the friend of the night blooming lotus, which causes the ocean of the saintly person's welfare, their bhavas, to swell, and who is the sun whose brilliant rays dissipate the darkness of ignorance cast by the various classes of miscreants. I worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who wandered on every path in Bengal, dancing, singing, and calling out, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and who, inconsiderate of his own self, lovingly bestowed merciful sidelong glances upon those who were not compassionate to even their own selves. I eternally worship Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the root of the Krishna Bhakti tree, who held the supremely soft lotus hand of his brother, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, whose heart became filled with the highest bliss when they gazed into each other's lotus faces, and who wandered here and there, delighting the townspeople with his sweetness. And then we end with the last verse here, 9. Rasana Madaranam Rakshika Vara Sad Vaishnavadanam Rasagram Saram Patita Tati Taram Smaranta Param Nityanandastikam Idam Apurvam Patatiya Tarangri Dvandva Dvabajam Spuratu Nitaram Tasha Hridaye. May Sri Nityananda Prabhu places lotus feet in the heart of one who lovingly recites this unprecedented and supremely potent Nityananda Astakam, which is full of spiritual rasa, the greatest treasure of the pure devotees qualified to relish such transcendental rasa, and the storehouse of the very essence of such rasa. It bestows liberation to fallen souls who simply remember Nityananda Prabhu's sublime qualities. Jai Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.